But anybody else feel like at times the weight of the world is on your shoulders, is pressing down on you, like decisions that you have to make seem to have higher stakes, and that the very survival of your family and of yourself are in your hands as you make these decisions? I mean, it's certainly what the election ads want you to feel like, that if you choose the wrong way, all life will end on November 6th, after the day after the election. Everything will be over if you make a mistake here and you don't vote for this person or for that person. The reality is, the stakes are high. Don't want to downplay with what we're talking about. This series has been a One Nation Under God, about us being a nation under God. As we talked about from the first sermon, in order to be a nation under God, we have to be individuals under God. If we all continue to live however we want, and then, you know, when the camera's pointed at us, or when it feels important to say, well, we're a nation under God, it's not going to work that way. We need to be individuals under God. And so the decision we have to make in November is a big decision. The stakes are high. And when the stakes are high, there is a temptation that occurs, either to jump to conclusions and to defend our point because we think we're right and we've put all of our eggs in one basket, or we've made our decision already, and so we continue to defend that position, sometimes with misplaced passion and fervor. Sometimes we get a little angry, we get a little fired up. I know nobody here has gotten fired up in the last couple months. You know, no one's yelled at their TV like me, or you know, driven past a certain sign in a yard and thought a certain way about the people that live in that home or anything like that. None of us have done that, right? We can get a little one-sided and not willing to listen at times. That's one way to go. Or another temptation is to step back and let others make the decision, to say, man, this is really polarized, it's really ugly, things are crazy, I'm just going to step back in this. I don't want to be a part of this. It's too much for me. I'm just going to step back and step away. Yet the Word of God tells us to step into these moments, to engage in high-stakes situations, and to honor Him in how we respond when the stakes are high, when He has called us to be a part of something. We are to honor Him in the way we do that. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." I just want to stop there for a moment just to point out, hear that this morning. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You may be tempted to trust in a political candidate. You may be tempted to trust in your retirement or all these other things that are going to be affected by the decision made in November. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Very easy in a season like this to say, well, I know who I'm voting for, and if you don't, you're an idiot. I've heard it said by Christian people. Anybody who votes like that's an idiot. Anybody who votes like that's this, that, or the other. So a pastor I respect just put a post up that says, anybody who votes for them is going to hell. No. I think you're making a big mistake if you vote a certain way in November, but as I think the policies and what we've talked about already in this series are pretty clear. But God is far more important than all of this stuff that's going on. He's a part of this, but it is Him we put our trust in. It is Him we rely on. It is Him that will make straight our paths. If we follow Him, our choice becomes pretty clear. We don't have to say, oh, there's just so much going on and I don't know. Yeah, because you're watching too much news and you're not spending enough time with God. Spend time with Him, lean into the Lord, and He will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in our own eyes. We don't know all the answers. We don't know everything. We certainly don't know what's going to happen on November 6th or 7th or 8th or 9th or any of those days, and yet God does. And so when we lean into Him, He will make straight our paths. but also to sit back and say, well, this is ugly. Everybody's fighting, calling each other names. It's just a real mess, and I don't want to be a part of it. I don't believe is a believer's option as well. If you remember a quote that I shared from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who is the pastor who stood up to Hitler. He said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak, and not to act is to act." I believe that Bonhoeffer was very right. I don't think everything Bonhoeffer did was good. If you know your church history, you know a little bit about Bonhoeffer. I don't know that everything he did was completely great, but I think he's spot on in this. For us to stay silent in the face of evil, I believe, is evil itself. It's what Satan wants from us. He wants those who are passionate followers of Jesus to remain silent because we're a problem. We can't be swayed by money or by power or by all the other things. So it's better to get us to be quiet, to get us to take a seat, to bow out and to not be a part of this. But Christians don't have the luxury of stepping back and letting others make the big decisions, because the others who will make the big decisions, who will show up to cast their vote, they're not going to have God's priorities in mind. And when we step back and say, well, you know what, I'm just going to step back because as a believer, there's just no good candidate for me to vote for because I'm so righteous, I can't vote for any of these broken, messed up people. So I'll just step back. We say, okay, you know what? Let all the ungodly people vote and make decisions for our children, for our country, and for all of the people around the world. Because our election affects not just the people in our country, but everyone across the world. The others are certainly not going to be voting in a way that honors God. I hope that yours will. I hope that your vote will honor God. Millions and millions of Christians will sit home on November 5th without casting their vote. It's historically been the case. They will sit home just like they did on November 3rd, 2020. They sat home. And then they'll sit around in the Christian fortresses in their churches complaining about how evil the culture is around them and how evil everything is becoming and how depraved and dysfunctional the leaders of our country have become, filled with self-righteousness, saying, well, I couldn't vote for either of those candidates because I'm so holy and so righteous, and they did bad things at one point in their life, so I can't vote for them for that reason. All the while sitting on their hands and not lifting a finger to engage the darkness. That's why we were sent, church, to engage the darkness. As Bonhoeffer said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. Don't believe the tactics of the enemy, that neither candidate is good enough to vote for, so all moral people should sit this one out while immoral people cast their votes by the millions. If every professing believer casted their votes in November, who voted the values that they see based on the positions of each person, we wouldn't have to complain about cheating and fraud and all the garbage that we can complain about. The candidate with the more biblical policies would win by a landslide. We are, as far as the numbers go, still predominantly a Christian nation. We just don't act like it. Christians just don't show up. We are not present. That's the problem. See, there has never been a perfectly righteous candidate. You go back and look at any presidential campaign ever, and I promise you, you will find broken people on every side of every election ever. You'll find dirt in everyone's closet. If you ran for office, I promise you, we would find dirt on you because you're messed up and you're broken just like me, just like all of us. We've all done dumb things. We've all messed up. There is always a candidate, however, whose positions are more in line with godly values. As believers, I hope there are some big ticket items in every election that you pay attention to, that you know where people stand on certain issues. You've heard me talk about it, some of mine from the front. To me, abortion is a big issue for me. having three kids of my own, knowing how precious children are, knowing what could happen to these if we're not going to stand up. They don't get to cast a vote. They don't get a voice in the election, but we do. We should show up for them and make decisions that are in line with godly values. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about godly values, is that each candidate has been very clear where they stand on some of these important issues, and we should vote in a way that honors God. We must step up and honor God with our duty to make a decision this November. The big question of this morning is, how do we honor God with important decisions when the stakes are high? And how do we avoid passivity? How do we avoid what Christians have been guilty of so often? Passivity. It's what Bonhoeffer was so passionate about as Hitler was coming into power, as all this evil stuff was happening, as they watched Jewish people being loaded into vans and being loaded into wagons to go off to where they knew exactly what was going to happen, most people, and they just stood by and did nothing because they were afraid of what might happen, or they were afraid of looking a certain way, or they were afraid of their neighbors looking down on them, or all of the other things. They stood silently by. I don't think when those people stood before Jesus, he said, no big deal, don't worry about that. It was okay to just, sit that one out. It was a messy situation. Yeah, it was a lot of talk on both sides. I don't think that's how that conversation went when they stood before Jesus. How do we honor God? Not just with an election decision, but with all important decisions. And how do we avoid passivity as believers? I think there are five things to keep in mind. They're not the only five. They're not maybe even the most important five. It's the five that I felt God highlighted to me as I prepared this message this morning. Number one, recognize that inaction is a decision. Number two, seek God's wisdom first, not last. Number three, consider others. Four, act in faith, not fear. And five, engage, don't withdraw. So number one, recognize that inaction is a decision. We can mistakenly think that not acting is the best way to stay neutral. That's the lie. Well, if you don't do anything, you're remaining neutral. There is no such thing as neutral when the stakes are high. Or maybe we think that if we don't do anything, we're avoiding supporting someone that we don't think emulates Christian character. However, inaction itself is a decision. A decision to let others, with or most likely without biblical values, chart the course. The Bible is full of examples of people who were forced to make important decisions with less than ideal circumstances. One person that came to mind is Esther. If you've read the story of Esther, you know that when the stakes were high, she wanted to take the course of inaction when Israel was faced with annihilation. Why? Because she had common sense. She said, if I go before him and he gets angry, I'm dead. What's the point in that? How can I help if I'm dead? I mean, sometimes I've heard people come down on Esther for like, she just didn't have faith. You go be in that situation where you know that most likely what's going to happen is you're going to die. I mean, you just replaced a disrespectful queen who got thrown out for what she did, and now you're being told to go in and do the same thing. And so she says, I'd rather just sit this one out. Let God do it through somebody else. And Mordecai confronts her. Oh, I was supposed to do these. Look at that. I'm doing real good this morning. Esther chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this." I want to give you another excerpt from another version of the Bible called the Bruce Standard Version. Just a rereading of this passage here. Then Pastor Bruce told them, Do not think to yourself that in your well-furnished churches you will escape any more than all the other Americans. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for God's people from another place, but you and your church will perish. And who knows whether you have not been born into America for such a time as this. When we stay silent, church, good things don't happen. We must engage the darkness. We were sent as the light to engage the darkness. As we look at the scope of our country, the country has not gotten less godly because godly people just we just missed it. We've stayed silent. We've sat by. We've sat in our circles. We've only concerned ourselves with ourselves. We've not spoken up when necessary. And our country is where it is because of indecision. Inaction is a decision. Pray for discernment to know when God is calling you to step up. The first step to honoring God in decision making is refusing to sit back and let evil go unchecked. To say, I will engage. I mean, I might not know what that looks like. I might not know what I'm doing or how to do it, but I'm not just going to let this go by without doing something. Number two this morning, seek God's wisdom first, not last. It would be easy to watch all the political ads and make decisions based on what makes logical sense according to what you're being told. Anyone here trust the media to give them accurate information on either candidate? Yeah? It's crazy as you watch the news, and honestly, I look at what I'm seeing, I'm like, well, that's not accurate about him, that's not accurate about her. Some of it's probably true, and some of it's probably true about that. But to trust the media to give us accurate information, they've proven time and time again, they'll lie through their teeth for their agenda. Depends who's footing the bill. That's what matters. And so we see all of this, and I don't know, anybody else enjoying the political ads every commercial while you're trying to watch anything ever? Yes, it's so much fun seeing these political ads constantly. Anybody decide who they're going to vote for from a political ad? I don't even know why they're doing it, except because of money. So we can't trust the media. The media can't be trusted, but God's wisdom can. Again, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5-7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. When King Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament was faced with a crisis, he didn't rush off to battle, trusting in military might and what so many other kings did. Wow, we got a bunch of people. We got a bunch of people with swords. Let's just go fight this one out. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, he says, O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Whew, man, if you're like really confused in this election, if you really don't know what to do, if you're really frustrated with what's happening, there's a good prayer. I have no idea what to do, but my eyes are on you, God. I'll just keep my eyes on you. I'll make decisions while my eyes are fixed on you. The decision isn't as important as aligning our hearts with God's will. When we align our hearts to God's will, decision-making becomes much easier. If we seek him daily on every decision as we live our lives, if we're not just going to him when everything's falling apart, if we're not just using God as the get-out-of-jail-free card or everything's gone haywire, and so now I'm running to you in my time of distress, if we follow him in everything, we won't fall into the trap of just using God as our way out when things get rough. That's how many Christians live. They live a mediocre Christian life. They give God the bare minimum until there's a crisis. And then they expect the pastors and the people of God, the elders and the deaconesses, to come running and rush in and fix all their problems because now they're serious about God and they've got questions and they want answers. And man, that's not what it's supposed to be like. But when we pursue God each and every day and we honor him with our decision-making, we seek him in all things, when the big stuff comes, it's so much easier. Say, God, my eyes have been on you. They'll remain on you. Now let's make this decision. Number three, consider others. To honor God with our decisions, we must remember that our decisions impact others around us. It might be easier to sit this one out, honestly. It probably is, because there's a lot to sift through. You have to be really intentional to go out and find the truth in the midst of all the lies. Or maybe you've decided, I'm just going to vote for one of the candidates I know isn't going to win because they're a good person. So I'm going to vote for that person because it makes me feel better. And I can feel better in my own heart knowing that I took the easy way out. How Christians engage November 5th will affect many people all across the globe. That's a truth. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Is it easier to sit it out and not sift through all of it and not deal with all the hate and deal with all the problems and deal with all the fear and deal with all the anxiety? Yes, but it's not about you. It's not about what makes you more comfortable or what's easier for you. It's about considering others more significant than even ourselves. When Abraham and Lot, if you have read your Old Testament, when they were parting ways due to the conflict between their families, what happened? Abraham allowed Lot to choose from the land first, if you remember that. He told Lot, "You choose which way to go." Lot looked and saw that one section of land was very good and very pleasing to the eye. And so Lot made a decision purely based on what looked best for him. And he took what he wanted and what he thought would do the best for him. And that led him close to and eventually into the city of Sodom. Abraham, on the other hand, honored God by considering the welfare of his family as well as that of his nephew, giving him first choice. Who knows what would have happened if Abraham had just said, "Well, you know, I'm going to go do what looks best for me. I'm going to choose that land because it's better. And Lot, you know, you're second in command. You get to go where you can go the other way." If Abraham would have been the one who ended up in Sodom. When we decide how to engage in high-stakes situations, we should be asking ourselves how our actions or lack thereof will affect others. How, when I engage this situation, will it affect others? To honor God, we must move beyond self-centered decision-making. High-stakes decisions often require us to think of others before ourselves. Number four, act in faith, not fear. When we allow fear to creep into our decision-making, it often leads to poor choices or indecision. "Well, I'm so afraid of making the wrong choice. I'm so afraid of what, I'm so afraid." And so we make poor decisions or we make no decisions. God calls us to act in faith. Joshua chapter 1 verse 9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." As we get closer and closer to election day, remind yourself of God's promises and of his faithfulness. The ads are not going to get nicer. They're not going to get kinder. They're not all going to be singing kumbaya. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get uglier. They're only going to try to create more anxiety and more fear. And so maybe, just maybe, it would benefit you to spend more time with God in the mornings, being reminded of his faithfulness, of his love for you, recounting all the ways that God has shown up in your life and how he's shown off and shown himself to be faithful in your life. Reflect on how God has brought you through difficult decisions before, how he has led you and helped you to make decisions. Let your confidence, not in yourself or in your political party, let your confidence in God guide your decisions. And number five, engage, don't withdraw. How many of you do everything you can to avoid having a political conversation in public? I know some of you, I'm sure. It's not the most ideal thing to be caught up in a grocery store. Number one, because you don't know where they stand. But number two, because that might be the next half hour of your life as you listen to somebody else complain and get angry and get upset over the same things you've heard everybody else who votes that way get angry and upset and complain about. And you're like, yep, yeah, oh, man, oh, yeah, whoo, man, that's yep. That's the next half hour of your life. It's easy to want to avoid that, to not want to get sucked into those conversations in public. It can be tempting to withdraw from all conversation about critical issues, especially when they're divisive. To say, you know, I'd rather not talk about it. I don't want to get into it. However, our call as Christians is to be light in the world, which means engaging with the world around us, even when it's uncomfortable. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." We are to be lights that shine in the dark place. It's hard to do that when we're constantly covering it up and saying, I just don't want my light to shine right now because it's a lot of work for me and it's uncomfortable and I just don't want to do it. Now, I'm not saying argue with everybody you can about politics. That's not, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm saying engage in this. Get involved in the decisions that matter in our community, in our nation, and in our churches. Whether it's voting, serving, or simply speaking up and being vocal about what you believe to be right, your voice and your decisions matter. We must engage as believers. Do not allow the fear of conflict or discomfort to silence you. That's what people are hoping who don't have God's plans in mind. They want those of us who have God's heart in mind to be silent. That's what they're counting on. Be gracious, but be present. That's one of the greatest things we can do as believers, is be present. Go to the school board meetings, go to these elections, be a part of these conversations, be present and be gracious. Don't sit on the sidelines when the stakes are high. Your presence alone can bring God's light into dark situations. And when you feel like God stirring you to speak, speak. As he told his disciples, don't be afraid of what to say or not to say. In that moment, God will give that to you. Be prepared. Be in his presence. And trust that when the moment and when God's stirring you to speak, that he's put something there to say. Because when you stand up to speak, I hope you're not saying, well, I better think of something really good to say because God told me to say something. No. Just lean into the Spirit. Allow God to speak through you. So what do we take away from this? What do we do with this morning? Well, this message isn't just about election season. It's about Christian living. Yes, we're talking about it in our One Nation Under God series, and yes, the election is coming up soon, but this is not just for elections. As I was preparing my sermon, I just want to let you know a little bit of my process. I prepared my whole sermon except for the conclusion. Then I came back to it this week and I went to write my conclusion and I had a moment with God, and it was a pretty cool moment because I prepared all of this sermon and the 5 points, and he completely kept me from realizing how this is exactly what I want to share with you about the transition season you're about to enter as a church. As I began to write the conclusion, God made it pretty clear. Recognize that inaction is a decision. In the transition time, as you're looking for a new pastor, there's going to be a more consistent person preaching. That won't be me, but it'll be Lynn Schaefer, who many of you have heard before, and you like Lynn. I thought he was fantastic. But recognize that inaction is a decision. To not be a part, to not do anything, to not be a part of whatever committees or boards or decision-making, that's a decision that you might, hopefully, you don't make. But in this transition time, inaction is a decision. Seek God's wisdom first, not last. in this transition time, it's not going to be about, well, this is what I think we should do. This is what I think we need to do. This is what I think we should look for. This is what I... That's not what God's going to call you to do. Seek God's wisdom first, not last. Be in the presence of God. I thought, I was at Vince's funeral, and I thought, I think it was your brother that shared it, Dan. I thought, man, that was, what a good word he shared, was that Vince was an incredible man of prayer. Who's going to take that mantle up now? Because there's a gap, there's a void where there were many, many, many prayers being lifted up to God. And who will stand in that gap? Who will take up that mantle of prayer that Vince has left? I hope some of you will take up that mantle and you will seek God's face on a regular basis so that as you make decisions, it will be God's choices. I know the elders, this is, I know I don't need to tell our elders this. They know the first and foremost important thing is to seek God's wisdom first, not last. And I know in that vein, John will be coming to you with prayer updates and prayer promptings. I think on a weekly basis, he'll be giving you things to pray about and for, and that is such an awesome way to engage this season. Number three, consider others. Consider who this affects. I want to challenge you to think about your elders in this season. This is a really difficult season for elders. A lot is being put on their shoulders. And those who might be part of a search committee, whatever God calls them to do, however they are going to engage this season, it's a lot. Imagine making this decision yourself, being in their shoes and having to make this. Imagine the spiritual warfare that will ensue as Satan tries to distract them or get them off task. And he's going to try to make them busy. He's going to try to attack their families and all these other things that happen in these seasons. Pray for your decision makers in this church as they pray through resumes, as they look at men that will come through, and as they have conversations, trying not to make decisions that they think make sense but that honor God. It's a huge mantle to be on the shoulders of any one person or any three people. You have three elders, if you didn't know that. It's still a lot of weight. Consider them, but consider others. It was within the church family. How do we care for each other in a season where there's a void, where without there being a lead pastor, how do we care for others? Act in faith, not in fear. There'll be a lot of fear. Maybe giving might go down for a little bit, and we think, oh, we got to make these decisions because we don't have money for this, we don't have money for that, or this isn't going right, or this is going wrong, and we might want to, I'm just afraid that this might happen or that might happen. Act in faith, not in fear. Man, God has a plan. That has been very clear to me from the moment he began to speak to me to move on and to go somewhere else. That was my frustration, is God, I don't want to leave this church without a pastor. How do I engage this best? And he reminded me to act in faith, not in fear. I have no fear for this season for you as a church family. I have a lot of faith that God will engage this. It'll be a healthy and fruitful season. This church is in an amazing place, at a very healthy place. You have some amazing people here. Act in faith, not in fear. And number five, engage. Don't withdraw. The temptation can be, well, I'll just, sit this one out until they have a guy installed, and then I'll come back, and then I'll be a part of it because I'm not happy about this, and I'm upset, or I'm angry, or I'm frustrated because the whole way this thing went down. This is your church, not mine. And I've enjoyed being a part of it for this season. But this is your church family. Many of you will grow old. These kids that you see that come up here and thunder up to the altar and sit down and then thunder out the side door, they'll grow old and they'll have kids in this church. It's their church. Love each other well in this season. Engage. Ask how you can be used in this season. There's a sign up back there for Hungry Heroes that's got one name on it. Engage. Don't withdraw. These times of reaching out, look outside of us. Don't become internally focused and think, well, we gotta batten down the hatches and we just gotta focus on us as a church for a while. No. Focus on the community for a while and watch what God does in that. Bless the community. Bless them as you go through this season and watch how God will bless you. He'll take care of this church as you focus on the community. And I just want to reiterate, as I prepared this conclusion, I always knew I want to throw something in there. I want to finish my last sermon in Dubois well with an encouragement, with a blessing. But man, God opened my eyes to see all five of those points how they're exactly what I would want to say as I finished my last sermon. But I do want to finish with a blessing. As you hopefully make decisions in the coming future, I think the election is super important, but I also think you have some huge decisions to make as a church that are also very, very important to utilize all five of these. But if I can, I just want to pray a blessing over you. So I want to speak a blessing over you, and then I'm going to speak a scripture blessing over you, and then I'm going to pray over you this morning. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might. And I'll finish with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's pray. Father God, I pray these blessings over this church family. Lord, I thank you for the blessing they've been to me these 6 years that we've been here. The way that they've come alongside of us as we had two children here in Dubois, as we raised three kids here. The way they've loved us, blessed us. Lord, I thank you for who you have shown yourself to be in these 6 years through this church family. Lord, I thank you for the strongholds you've broken down. I thank you for the freedom you have released. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the way that you have shown up in power and relevance here among these people. And Lord, I pray a blessing over them in this next season. That exactly what this scripture has said, Lord, that you would do everything in this, Lord, that you would give them a unity in the bond of the Spirit, Lord, that would transcend all of the conflict that may ensue and all the difficult moments. Lord, I pray for the elders as they make decisions, God, that you would stand guard around them and you would protect them and their families, that you would be in their lives in ways that they've never seen you work before, that they would see a season of power and of your glory displayed in their lives in a way that changes the way they walk with you. And Lord, I pray for others in our church that they would engage, they would step into this season, that they would live worthy of their calling, because each and every person here this morning and those watching have been called, and you have a purpose for them in your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that they would be used in powerful ways, they would lean into you, Holy Spirit, and they would live out the calling to which they have been called with humility and with gentleness, Lord, and there would be unity amongst this church like it's never been seen before. Lord, I pray that you would bless them in this season, and that the man that you bring would lead them to the next chapter, and they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have called this next man, and it was your purposes all along that brought this about, and they would flourish, and your kingdom would be advanced, and the darkness would be pushed back in Dubois, and those who do not know you would be found, that the lost would be found, and those who know you would be built up in the faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 God bless you all.
Hello.